It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on a Wednesday night here in St. Louis. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Glad you are with us as we are going to jump right into our next interview. That would be with Fox 2's Daniel Esteve, who I am glad to have the chance to catch up with. So thank you, Daniel, for taking some time tonight.
Part of the conversation.
All right, I missed part of that. Tell me again. I said thanks for coming on, and I only heard the end of that.
Oh, no. Any chance I get to chat with you is a big win for me, so I always jump at the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate the flattery, and I will give it right back because you've done a great job when I've heard you this summer filling in on the city broadcasts, kind of sticking up, or I should say taking up for Jen Cease on the pre and post and halftime shows. So nice job to you as well.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. It's hard to follow greatness like Jen or Dale in some cases, but anytime they can't come by, I'm happy to fill the role.
We are lucky. I was talking with Nate Getter last night. We're lucky here. What he was kind of explaining too is how much that Jen Cease does that you don't see, and that's kind of where I was coming in. She's the one providing us with all of the interviews and the audio and all of that, so she does do a heck of a job. But so City on the road tonight. They are at Seattle. This is the last game prior to the transfer window opening in the MLS. What do we reasonably expect? What should we reasonably expect from City tonight?
That's a loaded question, Joe.
I know it is.
And I get caught so much between what we should expect and what we should hope for. Because honestly, what we've grown to expect is a relatively disappointing performance, which is really sad to say, given all the excitement leading into this season. But I can tell you the last time, I don't have days off often when City plays, but the last time I did, tonight will be another example, was the Vancouver game, Bradley Carnell's last
Ooh.
Game. And I whined and dined myself, Joe. I'm sitting on the couch, excited to catch some City soccer. We jump out to an early 2-0 lead. I'm thinking this is great. And by the middle of the second half, I'm thinking I should start rewatching Game of Thrones or something because it was so disappointing. So my expectation tonight is to do my best to lower those expectations, hope for a draw, which would be a good result, and then just waltz our way into Saturday where at least the intrigue of new players comes back. But what you can hope for is hopefully a great performance on the road, and that would really keep our playoff hopes alive if we can get a result heading into the new guys coming in.
Here's what was so disappointing that I was just saying this. What was so disappointing about Saturday's result against Vancouver was not just the play on the field, but to a man, they were talking about kind of the air of defeat. There was the body language. There were all of those things that then prompted a meeting after the game. So it was more of not just tactics. It was the attitude. And I think that's something that we really haven't seen from City this year, and certainly not last year.
We haven't seen it, but Joe, I think the more and more, you know, we lose, for lack of a better word, I think it really uncovers some of the issues. And John Hackworth touched on it earlier in this week before the team hit the road, is when asked about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, Hackworth responded with problems and then kind of smirked. And when asked to elaborate on that, he touched top to bottom, there are issues within the club that need to be addressed. So on the field, I hate to put coach speak out there, but Hackworth said, hey, our performances are bad. If the performances are bad, you won't get the results. We can't worry too much about the results. But the thing that begins to be uncovered is last year, winning covers all the stuff going on behind the scenes. It seems more and more as this team isn't successful, you're starting to see some of those maybe really internal issues be exposed. And that's, I think, the most concerning thing moving forward is has it always been bad? Has it really just been the losing that's kind of brought these things to light, et cetera? Just how deep do the issues go with City is what I think we need to figure out before we start winning.
Yeah, that is interesting to note because you're right. Winning cures all, right? Or winning cures most, or at least it covers most.
It can mask it. Yeah. It can just mask it.
Yeah. That is, you make a really great point. And in fact, I'm going to use that to parlay into now our baseball team, the Cardinals, because we kind of see the same. We're going the other direction, right? Last year was such a bad year. There were every little bit. We were picking at every little bit. This year, the team loses three in a row last week, and it was sort of like, oh, they'll be okay. They're going to come back. They're going to bounce back. They eventually get a couple against the Cubs. But it's been a complete, obviously, 180 since Mother's Day.
A complete 180. And You know, it really is just the inverse. The city,
right.
But you can maybe learn a lesson from the Cardinals because they had a historically bad season last year. People were questioning the offseason moves, but in reality, they addressed the issue, which was, hey, we need some vocal veterans in the locker room, in the clubhouse, that can help bring up this young rising group of stars in what you hope in Mason Winn and Alec Burleson and the like. And then you address the pitching issue. Now, despite Goldie, despite Nolan getting off to a slow start, and despite the team getting off to a slow start, you finally start to see the fruits of those decisions come to play with some success. And you hope that, unlike City, that success is a product of the work they've already put in. It's not just masking some issues. And, of course, the Cardinals have issues. They're not the Dodgers. But you're at least enthused and excited about what they can do. And I saw a stat that, in terms of just general record at the All-Star break, they've one of their better records since 2015 at the All-Star break, given how slow their start was. So that's got to be a good sign to a certain degree, especially when you're only 4.5 games back of the Brewers for the top of the division.
And not only that, we're talking with Daniel Esteve of Fox 2, but when you think just that, yeah, the 50 wins, the 50 and 46, a good record in of itself, but then when you think about the way it's trending, you certainly feel like that what you're going to get coming out of the break is a much better product than what you got coming out of the gates.
Oh, for sure. And everybody, Alec we talked to, Brendan we talked to, Michael Ciani, Pedro Baez, we talked to a ton of guys before they headed off for vacation. And all of them said, man, hey, we're feeling really good, but we also feel like Goldie and Arenado and even Gorman are really going to get going in the second half. And if they do, to complement the rest of the hitters that are doing well, and you continue to get production from Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn finally got some offensive support, Cal Gibson, bit of a hiccup, but he's been solid. Man, it's pretty exciting to what the team can do moving forward. And again, let's not get crazy. I'm not telling people they're going to be World Series contenders, but after last year, making the playoffs and just seeing what can happen is super exciting for a baseball team that is used to being successful.
Yeah, no question. You just want the opportunity to be part of the tournament, right?
Absolutely. Joe, I'm selfish. All right, I just want to cover some playoff baseball. I got the Philly series. I got one playoff run with the Blues, and I was actually on vacation for City's playoff games against Sporting Kansas City because I assumed, yeah, now they're the one seed. They're going to advance for sure. I'll just cover the next couple games.
No.
And little did I know. So in my time in St. Louis, which I've absolutely loved, the only thing I feel like I've been missing is some really good, successful playoff runs. And aside from that one Minnesota series the Blues had and a really entertaining Colorado series, I haven't really gotten much. So I'm antsy. And if being selfish is wanting some more success for our teams, then so be it.
So here's the question then. What do you think, what would you be comfortable with if the Cardinals are going to make some kind of move? Obviously, you can pinpoint a couple of needs, but it is a top-of-the-line, probably a number two starting pitcher, if you can get it. But what are you, Daniel Esteve, comfortable with having go out, having leave the organization?
Oh, that's a great question. And, Joe, I know you've seen so many rumors about potentially moving on Jordan Walker. Greg Amsinger on MLB Network went out and said that he's not comfortable with how the Cardinals have handled that situation, and you could potentially use that piece. Nolan Gorman, power at second base, is obviously something you can move on. Yeah, I think the pitching piece is great and is the easy choice, just given the fact that I totally believe what the Cardinals have said. I think Andre Pallante's filled into that role great. Adam Wainwright went out and said that he's been really impressed with how he's played. But if you really want to compete and have that chance to jump, going and getting that piece is huge. Do you move on Jordan Walker? Maybe. I'm of the camp that you just got to let the kid ride. If you're given Alec Burleson and Nolan Gorman this extended opportunity to show what they can do at the pros, I don't understand why you can't send that or offer that same opportunity to Jordan Walker, especially after the productivity last year. But if they're not willing to do that, then I think, to answer your question, that's probably the easiest piece you move on is a guy like Jordan Walker and some pieces to get that big-time player. And I think that'd be an easy sell for most teams.
Oh, man, I tend to agree with you. I don't know that I could stomach that. I just – that
I
just
like
is bringing visions of Randy Arozarena. And I don't want it to be the next chapter in who has, you know, blossomed after leaving St. Louis.
Which is an extensive list. But, again, it's a product not of Jordan Walker, but of how the Cardinals have handled the situation. And like I said, it's just odd for me. And I'm very aware that, you know, compared to some of the brilliant baseball minds we have in the city, I am last on that list of people that should be talking GM moves. But in terms of the opportunities they've offered to the Alec Burlesons, the Nolan Gormans, hey, we're going to stick with them. Hey, they've had their ups and downs. We had the ups and downs with Jordan last year, then kept him up the rest of the season. It felt like that time to just let him ride. And the fact that they haven't done that is either a product of their lack of belief in him, their discomfort with him. I don't buy that there's not an opportunity for him to get on the field around here. So it's just an odd situation. And if it's going to continue to be odd, Joe, then I think the easy decision is just, hey, let's go get a win now guy, big arm, and send off Jordan Walker, let him shine somewhere else.
Oh man, I guess it remains to be seen. I mean I do understand what you're saying. I've seen it, and I wholeheartedly believe that there sometimes just needs to be a change of scenery, and I hope that's not the case with Jordan Walker. But again, I guess it is to be determined. I hope that
pieces for sure. There are other opportunities, other options, but I mean, if you want that big player, that number two type arm, I mean, that's an easy sell to give up a guy with the natural ability that Jordan has, who's also shown at the big league level what he can do.
Well, Daniel Esteve, I hope that your night off in front of the TV watching City SC brings better luck, better fortune to you than the last time.
Joe, I'm already defrosting a beef round roast. I'm going to just put a dry rub on it. I'm going to bake it for like an hour. I'm going to wine and dine myself one more time. Hopefully the magic comes off this time, and we get ourselves a big city win, a much-needed city win. And hopefully the city of St. Louis doesn't help me for my Jordan Walker take that you threw me into right there, because that was a bold one.
I'm off in like half an hour, so I can be there before kickoff. Like,
excellent. Yeah, hey, my roommate and I were going to split it, but it's, you know, I'll tell you what, you come right on over, it'll be great.
Well, I appreciate the time tonight, and again, I wish you the best of fortunes for your evening tonight.
Appreciate it, Joe. I wish it for St. Louis City as well.
Absolutely.